We get a lot of advice these days urging everyone to develop a hobby of some sort. They tell us it doesn't make too much difference what sort of a hobby we have, so long as it represents a chance to get away from the sort of work we do. A great many men, and women too, have found pleasure and profit in workshops, set up in their basement or the garage or some other convenient place. There they can work on gadgets of one sort or another, repair the household furniture, build a birdhouse or a lawn chair, and generally tinker with tools. Now, to really rig up a workshop requires quite a few tools and a rather sizable expenditure of money if you buy each item separately. But I want to tell you about a Kalamazoo industry tonight that is turning out a home workshop unit that sells for only $39.95. It's the Emmerich Company, located on Fulford Street, and it has been making these units successfully since 1932. The unit consists of five power tools: a drill press, a lathe, a grinder, a sander, and a table saw. This is not just a toy for children. It's a real, rugged, man-sized unit. The lathe is 30 inches between centers and has a 10-inch swing over the bed. The hardened, ground, and polished steel lathe spindle runs smoothly in heavy, replaceable bearings. The drill press takes drills up to half an inch. It has variable speeds from a four-step pulley. The saw arbor mounts between the lathe centers and can be inserted in 30 seconds. An 8-inch diameter sanding disc is mounted on the end of the main spindle. Finally, a 5-inch grinding wheel can be used to sharpen tools, grind metal parts, and polish. The company also sells a line of standard accessories which can be used on the unit: saw blades, drills, steel legs on which the unit can be mounted, and many other items. One motor operates this entire unit and is sold separately. This costs between $16 and $17. All along the line, the company endeavors to provide accessories as well as the unit itself at a cost low enough to be within the reach of the average person. For example, there have never been so many requests for a jigsaw to go with the unit as there have been this summer. Homer Emmerich told me that he had been working on this for a long time, but that the chief problem was to find a way to build such an accessory at a low cost. The Emmerich plant is not a big one. It started back in 1924 as a custom and special design machine shop. The home workshop idea was a Depression baby, but it has been increasing in popularity and sales to a marked degree since the war. 98% of the manufacturing on this unit is done right in the Emmerich plant. The unit itself has 115 separate pieces and weighs 65 pounds. The record production has been 109 units in one day. The unit has been put to some interesting and peculiar uses. A typewriter repairman reports that he uses the lathe to turn down platens, which are not ready for recovering. He uses the buffer attachment to polish parts and the grinding wheel to keep his tools in shape. Another chap used the unit in making a motorbike. Instead of having anything welded, he used the drill press on all the metal parts and bolted everything together. A lady from Georgia writes that her family calls the unit George because there doesn't seem to be anything that comes up that we can't let George do. Another user attached a saw with a diamond blade to saw bottles for mugs. A chap in North Dakota uses it to make beehives, while a Missouri user employs the drill press for gem cutting. A Canadian customer says he uses the buffing attachment to shine his shoes, and with the drill press he makes ice cream and whipped cream. A Massachusetts veteran who is disabled has made 50 table lamps and 24 crucifixes with the machine, thus earning himself some money. And a Washington farmer tells that he uses the drill press to churn butter and to mix paint. Some of the most satisfying reports on the uses of the unit tell of its contribution toward the solving of the problem of juvenile delinquency. Mr. Emmerich told me of a Chicago father whose young son had taken to going out nights and who was deeply concerned that this boy would get into trouble. Well, he purchased one of these units and then pitched in and helped his boy get interested in using it. The lad stays home nights now, and his young friends visit him in his basement workshop. I saw a touching letter from the head of an Indian mission in the West, to which Emmerich had donated a unit. Writes the principal, We hope eventually to develop a modest industry on the reservation, the manufacture of distinctive Indian curios for the considerable tourist trade in the towns of the Black Hills area. We have to find something for them because there is no employment on the reservation and nothing in sight for them. The Emmerich Company sells this unit and the accessories only by direct mail. Advertising is carried in magazines like Better Homes and Gardens. Quite a few units are shipped abroad. They have been sent to such far-off places as Australia, Switzerland, and South America. It's rather interesting to know just how the company finds out where the orders come from. Miss Shirley Rands, who handles the orders at the Emmerich plant, is here in the studio with me at the microphone. Shirley, will you please explain that to our listeners? Thank you, Shirley. Now, after a brief message from our sponsor, I'll be back with a story of another Kalamazoo industry. Just because there are a lot of giant business corporations in the country, we shouldn't have the idea that the day has passed when a person with energy and initiative can go into business for himself. Consider the case of Chris Kaminga, for instance. Chris Kaminga was born and brought up in Grand Rapids. Even before he finished school, at the age of 15, he had found a job in a shop in his hometown where they made rubber stamps. For 22 years, Chris worked in this shop, and there he learned thoroughly every aspect of this business. Every once in a while, though, he'd get the urge to have his own business. There was no room in his hometown for another enterprise of this sort, so he came to Kalamazoo, and here he bought out a small place where the stamps were being made on a somewhat small scale and started out on his own. That was 2 years ago. Well, at first it was pretty tough. Kaminga had to do all the work himself and to do the soliciting and selling in addition. It's not a big business yet, but it's a going concern, backed with a lot of experience and know-how, and with boundless energy and enthusiasm. When I visited Mr. Kaminga in his shop, which is located on West Water Street, I learned that the making of rubber stamps is quite an involved process. You begin by setting up type, just in the same way that you do it for printing. The type for several rubber stamps is set at the same time in a sort of a block that measures about 8 by 10 inches. This is then locked into a form and covered with a clay coating, rather soft clay. It's baked, and when it comes out, you have the desired material imprinted in clay. Then over this is placed a strip of pure virgin gum rubber, very high quality, which costs, I was told, about $1.80 a pound. This is vulcanized, and lo, you have the makings of a rubber stamp. The next step, then, is to cut apart the various pieces of rubber for the different stamps on that strip. Mounting strips come 18 inches long and can be cut to any desired length, with widths varying from 1/4 inch to 3 inches. The final step is just to affix the label and the handle. Well, now, this is not a big business, but it fulfills a pretty important need. The banks around here use lots of rubber stamps to cancel checks, and they buy endorsement stamps for their larger customers. Manufacturers use lots of rubber stamps for marking cartons and order forms and so on. And the schools and colleges use them in keeping their records. Business firms find many uses for rubber stamps. Kaminga's enterprise, the Kalamazoo Rubber Stamp Company, is the only company in Kalamazoo that makes these stamps. The company also supplies jobbers in Niles, Sturgis, Hastings, Allegan, Battle Creek, Marshall, and Grand Rapids. Mr. Kaminga also sells other kinds of marking devices and accessories. Special kinds of inks, some of them non-erasable, are furnished for the stamp pads used with the rubber stamps. He'll also sell you a stencil-making machine, one that cuts stencil letters into a hard piece of cardboard, so that by daubing ink over it, you can mark a carton with shipping information. But if you can't use a whole machine, then Mr. Kaminga will cut your stencils for you. A rather specialized sideline of this business also is the making of seals for the use of a notary public or a corporation. You might like to know that each letter on the seal has to be stamped on by hand backwards. Then two matching seals are made. When fastened together in a clamp device and pulled together across a sheet of paper, the letters, of course, are then raised on the paper. Well, here's a prosperous little business in which a man and a couple of helpers make a pretty good living, and they supply a much-needed item to the business community of Western Michigan. All which goes to prove that you can still go into business for yourself and make a go of it.